with Sister Gail.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
So what does it take for you to forgive? What does it take for you to forgive? Remember earlier on, our scripture for today, in actual fact, is coming from Ephesians, speaking about forgiveness. Verse 31, 32 says, get rid of all bitterness. That's 31. Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. Then comes verse 32, which is our scripture for today. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That's the measure. That's the standard. Not as others forgive you, because sometimes we do that. Nobody ever forgives me, therefore I won't. But that's not the measure, is it? It's just as Christ forgave you. And psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release, I love that, to release a feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group who has harmed you, who has hurt you, regardless of whether they actually deserve the forgiveness or not. And so that's very important. It's about you. You're releasing yourself. In actual fact, you're freeing yourself. And so we're going to be speaking this afternoon regarding this very important topic on our Wellness Wednesday feature to Sister Gail Masonda, the international speaker, who's going to be guiding us as we try to understand what forgiveness is all about and how it really assists us to engage in this very important ministry. Sister Gail, good afternoon to you and welcome once again to Faith Out Loud.
Hi, how are you? I can imagine your listening audience saying, well, what does an international speaker have to do with talking about forgiveness?
They must stay tuned and they will find out.
How are you? No. I must say that I am battling what everybody seems to be battling, and that's the flu right now.
Oh.
So we'll just do what we can.
No, indeed, indeed. Sorry to hear. It is flu season indeed. I mean, we were just having one of our producers, Kirsty, in studio as well. She also, in fact, yesterday she couldn't even speak. Her voice was hoarse. She's much better today. And I think, yeah, it is the flu season, like you're saying there. And we just wish you all the best and a speedy recovery to you, sis.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So jumping into our conversation, Sister Gail, forgiveness. You know, why is it such a hard act for most people? I mean, how can we find it in ourselves? Maybe address that. How is it so difficult? And what can they then do to be able to overcome the difficulty in forgiving, to cross over to that threshold of freedom of forgiveness?
Well, because we're trying too hard to forget first. We're trying to do what God hasn't asked us to do first.
Okay, okay, okay.
And so, and we're also trying to also say, oh, goodness, if I forgive this person, then I have to be in their company. Well, forgiveness and reconciliation are two very different things. Mm. And so it's the ability to also stop thinking. We all have to stop thinking that we can do this very sacred. It is sacred. It's a sacred trust to be able to forgive.
True.
And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We just can't. And that's not overly spiritualizing. That's just the truth.
The truth of the matter.
Because it's just not in our nature. It's not in our nature to want to forgive when we've been harmed. Mm-hmm. It's also not in our nature to remember how we have also harmed. So we get into I deserve better, and not that we don't, but I think the bigger thing here in context with this conversation is that without me, you can do absolutely nothing, including forgiving. Mm. We can't do it. We don't know how.
Without God, we can't do it. And maybe touch a bit, Sister Gail, as to why is it so difficult? Why do we burden? I understand that this is God's work that we're trying to do, and you mentioned there to say it's because we're trying to forget too quickly. Are you saying that this big thing, this momentous thing that has happened, is so painful that without forgetting it, we cannot move on to forgiving?
Well, what I'm saying is that we're putting the cart before
the horse. Okay, okay.
God, in the model prayer in Matthew 6, right? He just says, forgive. We're asking for forgiveness first, right? We're asking.
Yes.
Forgive us our debts. And then as we forgive, that's what Jesus says, forgive us as we forgive. They're not independent of one another. We can say, please forgive me for everything I've done, but I'm not going to forgive my father. I'm not going to forgive the man who walked out on me. I'm not going to forgive the employer who just retrenched me. I'm just not. But Lord, please forgive me for everything I've ever done. I don't even think I've been that bad, actually. So, you know, it's doing the first things first. And when I say forget, there comes a times where the sting of whatever has been done to us doesn't hurt as much. So do the first thing. You know, when you have a wound, what do? You go look for a plaster because you're bleeding.
Yes.
You put the plaster on. If it's too deep, first you got to rinse out you got to rinse it out, get all of the dirt and debris. Then you put the plaster on. There are methods to everything that we do. And sometimes we're just trying to overstep, figuring that we can just get to the destination easier and it'll be fine. And there's some things we have in our hearts that we really do believe. There's some things that are just unforgivable. I think we gotta. Can we look at a Bible character for a second, along with this forgiveness?
Yes.
I don't know if I'm getting ahead. Do you have another question?
Yeah, you just touched on something that I thought maybe we want to explore, and maybe you can then look at the character as well as you respond to say, holding things in our hearts, like you're saying, and maybe touch a bit on that, Sister Gail, to say. Is there something that, I mean, I have an elder actually who loves to say the statement, what you do does you, you know, and I'm thinking people who hold grudges. And sometimes we just think, no, I'm just not forgiving Sister Gail for what she did to me or what she said about me.
Yeah.
But actually we forget that this bitterness, this anger I'm holding in me actually is doing something in me. You know, I don't know. Maybe you can add the scripture to that as you respond to that as well, to say, is there a negative consequence of holding grudges that we sometimes are oblivious to when we are doing it? And it only after years of bearing this bitterness. And I know I was having an aunt. I actually spoke about this earlier this week. An aunt of mine saying that bitterness is like a flat tire. You don't go anywhere until you remove it from your life. You know, until you change it.
Not only does it not go anywhere, it actually drains our life forces. You know, this is where anxiety and depression and high blood pressure, all of these things that we're carrying around because we refuse. And I really want to use that word with respect. But we refuse. You know, when we say let go, let God, well, let go what? Exactly. And when we're talking in the context of forgiveness, we're thinking that letting go means I'm going to be an easy prey or I'm showing weakness.
Yeah.
There's some power in unforgiveness, and it's really not true. The only power is that we become powerless to enjoy our lives because there's something hanging in us that just won't allow us to be free. And so, you know, let go of the bitterness, let God heal us everywhere we hurt, because it's necessary, not in moving on, but moving forward.
Okay.
Forgiveness also gives us an opportunity to be a little bit wiser about what we do and who we do what with. Sometimes we're just so wanting to be accepted, wanting approval, we put ourselves in harm's way. We really do put ourselves in harm's way. There's a knower that we all have where I know the Holy Spirit resides. And even when it comes to relationships, even when it comes to the job opportunities, where you can feel and know the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way you walk.
Yeah.
Or you can hear the Holy Spirit, like, leave that person alone. But we become self-willed, you know. And I'm not talking about children who have grown up in abusive homes.
Okay.
Emotional abuse or physical abuse, where they're at an age where they're not able to really understand what's happening. They just know that mommy and daddy are not getting along. And when they don't get along, you know, I catch it. And so a lot of times we're dealing with trauma of the past, that we're holding on to that bitterness and not able to really release
so
properly.
True, so true. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, if only we knew that we would be the ones to benefit most. I think it's in the moment you're still holding on to the pain and the hurt that has come through. And you sometimes even feel like it's too soon to do this to this person, to let them go. I'm letting them off too easy.
Also, forgiveness is a process. And I want to talk about the Bible character, Joseph.
Okay.
Remember when his brothers showed up, right?
Yes,
they show
yes.
up. They don't know who he is, but he definitely knows who they are. Mm. And he knows because he has to remove himself from the room, remember? And he goes into another space and he weeps. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, was that weeping of bitterness coming back up, remembering the pit, remember hearing them talk about killing him, remember the days of being teased, the days of being laughed at. And, you know, a spirit of prophecy also says that Joseph, for the use of a 21st century term, he was a little spoiled. You know, he was his father's favorite.
That's true.
But Joseph he removed himself before he acted hastily. He's the prime minister, right? So recognizing who they were, he could have put them in jail or killed them on the spot, and no one would have questioned. But he comes to himself, and this is what he does, which we don't do often. He comes back to test the brothers. Have they changed? It's a process. Have they changed? Are they the same people that he knew however many years previous? Do you have any brothers? They answer the question correctly. We have a younger brother, Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Is your father still alive? Yes, our father is still alive. And he tests them, right? He gives them a test as they leave. And I think a lot of the times we get into situations where people have shown us who they are. And sometimes you have to draw boundaries. You can't enter back into a relationship where there's been harm, where there's been hurt, and just say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, when you yourself have not healed properly.
Okay.
So you put yourself back in a place where you can be harmed again. And that's where the Holy Spirit plays a role. Are we to love everyone? And that's another question there too. I mean, that's another situation to look at. Love is not a feeling. Love evokes feelings. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13.
Okay.
Love is a principle. And we can't do this when you say, okay, I know about God, but we don't really hang around that pond long enough to really admit to ourselves we cannot even entertain the act of giving forgiveness if the Holy Spirit is not present. That's a full stop. That's a full stop, because you go to the Lord and you say, I don't know how.
Then he
show me how.
He shows you. Sister Gail, maybe touch a bit there. I don't want to leave it open. I see it could have been, it can be a can of worms potentially. You mentioned the story of Joseph there and how he then tests them. Is that then saying when we want to forgive, we must first see if people are repentant for us to then forgive them? Or was that more for this, the relationship part, and the two are not necessarily the same, to say we can't forgive?
Relationship part. Mm-hmm. I'm sure when Joseph saw them, and I kind of played the devil's advocate by saying we don't know what his tears was about. But I'm sure the tears were, I'm glad to see them. I just don't know if I can trust them. Who are they? Have they changed? And so what I'm saying is, yes, be willing to forgive.
Okay.
You know, there's a statement that Sister White makes where she says, you know, sometimes we have to ask God to make us willing to be made willing.
True.
And so that's
true.
Really important, is that we are capable of doing awful things. And we have to be able to recognize in all of us there's some evil thoughts and some wickedness in all of us. We all are capable of bringing harm and doing harm. That's why it's so important that we recognize that giving forgiveness and receiving forgiveness is a process that can only be done in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The benefit is joy, really. The benefit is I'm free. You know, I'm not burdened down. Whenever this person walks in the room, I don't have to walk out because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it changes. I can look at this father who just shows up now. I'm 25. He's never been in my life. How do I forgive that? How do I forgive the teacher who ridiculed me in public in school? There are so many different facets and so many different situations and so many different kinds of relationships. And that is why it's just really so important. I don't think there's a blanket here.
Indeed.
There is, each situation deserves its own interrogation, its own investigation. You know, when the disciples say, and Jesus says, you know, forgive 70 times 7, 70, you know, goes on and on. It's not about how many times. It's about the attitude of forgiveness.
Okay.
Being willing to forgive even before something happens. Mm. It's not about, well, I forgave them 5 times. Oh, I forgave them 10 times. If you're doing that in a relationship, you need to remove yourself from that, actually.
Yes.
Because what's happening is there's not real connection, not real communication, not being able to say to the individual, you know, speaking to me like this harms me. It hurts me. That's the other thing, too. A lot of times we're not speaking up to people about what is happening. And so that's when the bitterness, you know, gets prolonged.
True. And Sister Gail, I don't know. I loved that detour, as it were, because it wasn't really part of the story. The devil's advocate you played there with considering what the weeping of Joseph was for. And I don't know. I'm hoping you can shed some light as well to this, to say, could it be that in the process of finding forgiveness in your heart and asking God to give you this forgiveness to give and share with these people, that maybe a good cry even is necessary as you look for this healing from this hurt that people put you through?
It really is. I have a personal example where I became very, very ill a few years back with an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis. And my medical doctor wanted me to see a homeopath because medical doctors deal with the medical, physiological side. Homeopaths are looking for the reason, not the symptom.
Okay.
They want to know the reason. And so in our conversation, exploring, the homeopath said to me, you need to go somewhere and cry. And I was like, I'm paying you all this money to tell me to go cry.
To go cry and that's it, you know?
Well, it would start the process of the healing because I had the disease in my spleen and my liver. And the spleen and the liver cleans the blood. And it's really interesting that we try to separate ourselves from, we are body, mind, soul, and spirit. And all of this is linked together. So, you know, I'm saying, I don't know if it was the trauma of how I grew up that I was holding on to or the divorce I went through in 1990, but significantly something had happened here. And my body was responding to, some unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Yes, some holding on to personal, I guess it's pride. You know, at the end of the day, our decision to not forgive comes from a place of misplaced pride.
Okay.
See, forgiving is to release. In releasing, I think what we're thinking is, if I forgive this person, am I going to have to now go to the mall and have tea with them every day? No. Because reconciliation, as I mentioned earlier, and forgiveness are two very different things. Two very different things. And we're telling people sometimes, no, just forgive, get over it. As opposed to, It will require time. It will require willingness. It will require compassion to yourself first. You need compassion for yourself, for what has happened to you. And then, because I don't think your questions are talking about someone bumped into you at
None.
The mall.
No, no, no.
Or someone, but you know, these are really,
deep-seated
you know,
things.
Hard things that have happened.
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile that? So that's really why I'm speaking from the place I'm speaking from.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Sister Gail, thank you so much for just taking the time to talk to us. And like I said earlier on, international speaker, I get the listeners are getting the sense of what I meant there. We really want to appreciate you, I mean, talking to us in such mighty tones. We can see the chaplain in you. We can see that counselor in you coming to the fore and really expressing this what would have been maybe can be turned into a very abstract and academic conversation. And you can hear the heart coming through from the way you converse with us. We truly want to say we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to, and I think it's, you know, some of these topics deserve almost like a series kind of unpacking, because there's some of your listening audience who are really, really hurting.
True, true.
Who have really, really been harmed. And they're sitting with, they're sitting with years of pain. And I'm not for one moment suggesting get over it. What I am saying is some of this stuff we can't process unless we ask the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who knows how to help us. It was the Holy Spirit that gave Jesus utterance to say, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They have no clue what they've just put on themselves by what they're doing here. And Jesus didn't say that as soon as he was hung on the cross. That's the seven last words of Christ. But he meant it. Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know. And we have to also remember that while we're, for the woman who's been left by her husband and he's with someone else, you know, this whole thing about we reap what we sow is really, really real. And what goes around comes around. And a lot of the times we're not going to be able to see what happens
True.
When people do harmful things to us. Yet God is really wanting us to get to a place that we can, in time, be able to pray for the very person who harmed
that has
us.
Hurt us.
That is really, well, it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to, we live in sin, right?
Oh, yes.
And so the stuff we're supposed to do really be, what does Paul say? The stuff I should be doing, I don't do. The stuff, you know, it's a battle. It's a conflict. It's not easy.
Yep.
But yet, with surrendering, that's that other piece, surrendering and being able to be okay with the prayer, I don't know how, show me how.
Show me
be
how.
Okay with that. Be okay with that.
That is
thank
invaluable. Thank you so much. No, thank you, Sister Masondo. We truly want to say we appreciate the ministry that you offer and the work that you do in the ministry thereof. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Sister Gail Masondo there talking to us this afternoon. Indeed, it can only be God's doing. It can only be God's doing. And that forgiveness can only be a gift from Him. Sister Gail Masondo is a chaplain, an author, an international speaker, a counselor, and a life in recovery coach. So that's why you can hear the passion that comes through as she addresses some of these topics, some of these matters. It really is close to her heart. Good afternoon. This was a conversation right here on Faith Out Loud.